Now then, let's hear from the Shamrock Rovers manager, Stephen Bradley. The Hoops were crowned SSE Airtricity League Premier Division champions for 2020, claiming their first title since 2011. Stephen Bradley's side went through the shortened 18-game league season unbeaten. It was the club's 18th title in total. In a wide-ranging interview recorded prior to Jack Byrne's departure to Cyprus, Stephen Bradley spoke to John Kenny about the challenge of adapting to the role of manager after his playing career ended.
I knew from very early I'd never fulfill my potential as a player, I was never going to play at the level that my potential should have played at. So I made the decision very early that I wanted to be a young coach and a young manager.
And was it Shamrock Rovers that you came to straight after Limerick, and you got involved with the junior and senior academies then, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, they didn't have an academy at the time, so we sat down and had a chat, myself and Sharon Robinson and Jonathan Roach, and they knew that I was going into coaching. That's where I wanted to go, and obviously the plans for to start the academy came about, and so that's how we started. We started up the kids under 8s, 9s, 10s, 11s, really, and that's where we started.
Yeah, because you played, of course, for Shamrock Rovers, so you knew something in the background, but obviously playing here, yeah, you'd have seen that they needed some kind of structure, and that was your plan, was it?
There was never, there was always Shamrock Rovers, obviously the first team, that was obviously always there, and really successful, but there was never anything underneath. There was never a club, there was never an academy, and Tala is a fantastic catchment area for talent, always has been and always will be, and we felt that Shamrock Rovers represented a chance to build an academy, and a really good one.
Mm. Were you surprised when you were offered the job as initially part-time and then full-time coach here?
Yeah, I was, because we were preparing for a European game. I think it was a Sunday. Myself, Glenn and Pat Fenlon, and then we got a phone call, I don't remember if it was that afternoon or the next day, saying Pat had left. And then asked would I take the team on Thursday away in Europa League. And that was the start, really. Spoke to Pat and obviously Glenn, and took that game, and then took it for the next, I don't know, many 3-4 months, with the aim of see could we get Europe, and we did that. And then the club obviously were planning all the time about next year and where to go, and we presented to the board where we felt they needed to get better and where the club could go if it did things right, and in the end the board came back and said we want you to be the one to lead it and do it, and so it was a surprise to get that, to manage this club at such a young age. Like, you know, I think a lot of men just start maybe out of limelight at clubs in the first division or clubs where there's not so much spotlight, like, you know, to be asked to take this job was a great honour, really, at that age.
Sure. It's the very demanding club, isn't it? I mean, not just from the supporters but from the board as well. Expectations is that Shamrock Rovers should be winning something every year as well. And 2018, you were struggling a bit in the league, and there was banners put up saying time to move on, experiment doesn't work, blah, blah, blah. And you'd have seen those things. Did that hurt personally?
No, not personally. There's not much that could hurt me personally, coming from a professional background. I mean, there's not things in the professional world that could hurt me personally. I've lost me mother, which was the closest thing to me in my life. So after something like that happens to you, there's not a lot that can happen that can really hurt you. And so when the banners are up and people were having to say, it never actually hurt me personally. It just maybe annoyed me more than anything, because I knew what we wanted to do. I knew where we were going, and I always knew it'd take time. Not just me, us, we always knew it'd take time. Like, we knew we wanted to, like you said, the club demands that you compete and win things, but we were a million miles from doing that when we came in, and we knew that. We were fighting to get fourth place when I came in, and we weren't competing to sign any of the best players in the country. So we knew there was no way this was a quick fix. We knew it was gonna take time. We had to change everything, squad, the culture around everything we do. And like I said, we knew that would take time. So it never hurt me personally, because like I said, there's not much that happens in the professional world that could hurt me. If anything, that could hurt me personally. People have an opinion, and people, right or wrong, dislike you, like you from what they read or see in the media, and that's fine. That's the position you're in. You have to accept that. I remember the day that the banners went up, and we actually had a meeting in this office the next night with the board, and everything that came out of the board's mouth was What do you want for next year? Where do you think we can improve on and off the pitch? And how was the squad? How was everything? Basically, what can we do to help? There was never any... I know there's a lot of noise from outside, but there was actually never any sort of panic talk inside. The board were really, really good, really supportive, and with that allowed us to go and just do our job with clarity, and I think Steve Maffel was a big part of that as well, the calming influence that he has on everything.
I talked to you in 2019 after you'd beaten Bohemians in the FAI Cup semi-final at Dalyman Park. You were kind of euphoric that night as well. It seems to me that was the night that you got a monkey off your back. Bose had been kind of a thorn in the side for the couple of seasons up to that, but you'd reached the cup final, and at that stage it really was becoming the holy grail for Shamrock Rovers, wasn't it?
Yeah, I was more happy for the group as a whole that night, because I felt to be a really, really good team, you have to win things, you have to achieve things, and players that play the game and have won things understand that you can't earn that in a presentation, you can't earn that in a training pitch, that has to be earned on the pitch. Beating obviously Bowles in the semi-final got us into a final with a chance to do that, and I felt that if we could win one trophy, a big trophy, a major trophy, it just gave us that belief as a group, because I felt the ability was there, I felt everything we were doing was right, and we just needed that final little hurdle, that little belief. So that was more what winning that game was about, to get us within a chance of winning a major trophy, which I always felt would help us grow and become bigger and better.
Now kicking to 2020, I suppose if you look back in February, that game against Bohemians, first match of the season, wild windy day, RTÉ couldn't show it, the cameras were blowing in the breeze, whatever, kind of a portent of what was actually going to happen in 2020. But eventually the season kicked in. But did you think at any stage that we wouldn't have a League of Ireland season?
No, I never felt that. I always felt confident that we'd get the league back. I think it's too important to too many people. For me, I think it was a positive sign, because it shows that people actually are starting to see it as an industry, a profession. You know, for too long in this country, we tend to look at sport as just a hobby, you know, and I think we've got to look at it as a profession, and we've got to take it serious as a country as a whole, you know. And I think that's one of the big problems in the country, has been for a long time, but I think that's slowly starting to change, and long may it continue, you know. I think the potential for sport in this country is fantastic, not just football, and we got to treat it that way. We can't think of it as a part-time sport or as it's just a hobby, like, you know. I think we've got to really take it serious, and I think, like I said, I think we're starting to do that as a whole. So I never felt, I genuinely never felt that the season wouldn't restart. I know there's a lot of noise, a lot of clubs financially, we were worried ourselves as well. I know it's not easy, and I think every club needs to be commended for what they've done and how they've got through it. We've obviously had the help of the government and the FAI have done that. I think, like I said, I think there was a lot of noise made the last time about certain clubs not wanting to come back and wanting to play the shortened season and whatever else you have. I understand the financial implications, but that goes back to my point of do we want to take football serious in this country? If we don't take it serious, how do you expect the general public and people from outside to take it serious? And that was the one pleasing aspect of getting the season back on, that we really sat down and talked about it. Gary Owens and Niall Quinn handled it really well. I think people were expecting miracles. They were only in the door. They were picking up a lot of nonsense that from the previous 10 years and beyond that came with that. And then they had the Ireland League and COVID to deal with as well. I think they deserve tremendous credit.
And Shields troubled by Jack Byrne. Keeper out of his goal. Jack Byrne makes it four.
Stop. That's just quality.
Burke's going to take it. Oh, what a goal. Here's Green. McAniff is joining him. Here's Green. 2-0. Obviously, there was three aspects of your season. You had your sojourn to Europe with AC Milan. You had the cup final. But the league first, champions unbeaten through the season.
Yeah, because it really left us, an 18-game season, left us no margin for error. It really didn't. It meant if any team blinked, you were in trouble. We felt if you slipped up anywhere along the line, because there were so few games, it didn't give you a chance to get it back. And that brings a lot of pressure. And to be fair to our players, they handled that really, really well. They played with a tremendous character and they played with our style and our way, which is really pleasing, because in pressure right situation, it's easy to forget all that and revert back to long ball and hoping something would happen. They didn't do that. and they never blinked. We had one or two games where we were below par, but they never blinked. They kept going, and I think they were fantastic. The only disappointing thing for me was we didn't get to see it over a full season, because I felt when the season was coming to a halt, we were only getting going, really, you know. And that was the only disappointing thing. But I thought that the players handled it really, really well.
There they are, the champions, Shamrock Rovers. They've broken their own record, their 18th title, their first since 2011. And the good times are back in Tala. And what else could the music play? They've got their hands in that famous trophy. It belongs to Shamrock Rovers for the 18th time. The League of Ireland's most successful team is top of the tree again.
AC Milan game, obviously Ibrahimovic came to town as well. What did you make to him?
He was a different class, like, you know. I thought them as a club were different class on and off the pitch. Before the game, after the game, having chats with the manager, with the CEO, with the sporting director, Paolo Maldini, even Casillas, who I knew from Arsenal. We had good chats afterwards. They really did the homework on us. It was clear to see when we spoke to them after. They showed us a lot of respect. So much how they invited us over for a game when everything settles down and stuff, like, you know. So it was, that was really good. Like I said, they showed their class. Usually the big clubs do show their class. We've had that with Juventus or Real Madrid. So you see that when they come, they show why they are, what they are.
Season wrapped up with the cup final. You were banned as well. You were actually sitting in the stand watching that particular game. It's a terrific game to watch as a neutral. But obviously, from your point of view, you must be very disappointed you didn't complete the double.
Really disappointed we didn't do the double. But I think when you take the emotion out of it now and watch the game, really, really happy with the performance. I think we when you break the game down, we started slow for maybe 5 or 10 minutes, and then we took over the game till maybe the 67th minute. We controlled the game in every aspect. And if one of our chances goes in, I think we win the game quite comfortably. You know, I think when you look at one or two of the chances we missed, and then one or two that Gary Rogers saves, and then when they scored their goals, and the two goals were poor from our point of view, but when they scored them, it completely flipped the game on its head, and they came into the game, and then slowly but surely, because we had to be open and go and try and get a goal, they started to control the game. But I thought, for, like I said, for maybe 65, 67 minutes, we completely dominated the game in most aspects. So that was when you take the emotion out and watch it back. We are really, really pleased with large parts of the performance.
And you're already building now for 2021, aren't you? Because you've started to sign players. Danny Mandrew, there was always a suspicion that he was coming here anyway. And Sean Gannon's back as well. It was maybe a bit of a surprise. So, but you're continuing that build, aren't you?
Yeah, we have to keep improving. We have to keep looking to get better on and off the pitch in every aspect. We've had these meetings now for quite some time, myself, Stephen, Glenn and the board, of how we can improve on and off the pitch. And Danny Mandrew's obviously a very talented young player, has real ability, and now he's got a chance to show that. Sean Gannon is proven in the league. He's won 6-7 leagues. He's one of the most successful players to ever play in the league. And when you get a chance to improve and get someone like him in, you don't turn it down. And with Reece moving on, unfortunately, we really liked Reece, but just personal issues. He couldn't stay in the end.
This is Reece Marshall.
Yeah, he couldn't stay in the end.
Looking around here at your training facilities and everything, the structures are in place. You seem to have the decent squad now in place. You know, the expectations are there, and I presume from Stephen Bradley's point of view, the expectations are is to keep the success going.
That's the aim, to be successful again. We can't overlook what's underpinned all that, and that's hard work, and that's what we're built on. That's what it's been from day one. Yeah, we have to be clever, and we've got a plan, and tactically we've got to be good, and all that comes with playing the actual game. But we've got a day to day, we've got to work really, really hard, each and every one of us. We can't work as hard as we did last year, because it's not going to be enough. We got to work harder. Everybody's going to be coming for us. We got to make sure that, like I said, every day, that each and every one of us, staff and players, bring everything they can to the table. And if we do that, Friday nights we'll look after ourselves, because we have the quality to win the games. But we got to make sure that we work really hard.
Do you think the league can have a brighter future? Because, you know, it's been documented over the years that there's too many, perhaps, self-interest in the League of Ireland, that the clubs really just look after themselves, there's no collective responsibility. Do you think that can change now with the new structures in the FAI and hopefully in the League of Ireland and within the clubs?
Yeah, I think it can, but we got to understand that it's going to take time. you know, what we've had for years and years before this has been unbelievable. I don't think any of us quite knew the depths of it until it's all come out. Behind the scenes, obviously, that's what's been holding everything back. Now we haven't got that. Now we know we're left with massive debt. We understand that, the FEI understand that it will take time to get it where people feel it should be. There's no point in moaning about it and giving out about it. It's happened. What's happened has happened. We've got to sit down now and make sure we're open and honest and see how can we take Irish football forward as a whole. I believe this league has tremendous potential, but it's not going to happen next year. It's not going to happen the year after. We can't expect change to happen overnight. It's the same with the national team, with the underage teams, with the national league, with us. It takes time, and we got to make sure we all work together. We're not always going to agree on everything. That's quite obvious. But we've got to make sure that it's with the interest of the league and Irish football at heart. And if we do that and we keep working hard, everyone, I believe this league has tremendous potential. But like sure. I said, it's not a quick fix by any means. And anyone who thinks it is in trouble.